Glad to see everyone back here with us this evening. So glad that you're here. I invite you to be turning with me this evening to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we'll be getting there momentarily. This morning we discussed Paul, a wise master builder, and we concentrated mostly concerning Paul on his focus. His focus was upon God, his focus was upon the New Testament, his focus was upon eternal things, and his focus was on working with God. Tonight we're going to look really at an entirely opposite side of that coin. And we're going to look at the rich farmer, or as he is probably more better known, the rich fool. As he is going to be called by God in this text. Now, when we think about Paul and his focus, I ask you to turn to Luke 12, and I'm going to ask you to mark that for a moment, but I want to pursue this for just a second. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We mentioned that several times this morning, but we didn't ever really go to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's just start with verse 24, where he begins to list the things that befell him concerning Paul. And throughout this, friend, I want you to notice Paul's point in all this. All right, you go back up a verse to verse 22, and really even further than that, he's answering questions that the Corinthians had about him. These people had come with false doctrines, with false ideas, and they were discrediting Paul. And so Paul says, are they Hebrews? Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they, verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. When he said, you can hear the sarcasm, can't you, from Paul? I speak as a fool. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths all. In other words, Paul says, what have these false preachers, what have they put on the line for the cause of Christ? Of course, the answer is nothing. Now look what Paul says. And again, remember where Paul's focus is and how it is that he's able to endure this. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received thou 40 stripes, save one. So 39 stripes, 5 different times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was been in the deep. In journeyings often, he's on the road constantly, in perils of waters, again shipwrecked 3 times, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. It doesn't matter where Paul goes, his life is in danger. And yet he continues to preach the gospel of Christ. He continues to let Christ's light shine through him. Verse 27, in weariness, he's tired. In painfulness, he hurts all the time. In watchings often, he doesn't get a whole lot of sleep. In hunger, not enough food to eat. In thirst, not enough to drink. In fastings, again, hungry, but he's doing this now for spiritual reasons. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Doesn't have enough clothing either at times. Beside those things that are without, those things, everything that he's mentioned, those things that are without, those are physical things. He says, that which cometh on me daily, the care of all the churches. He still cares about the spiritual too. Regardless of what's going on in his life. He says, who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, look at this. I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Where is his focus? It's on God. Now, in contrast, we go to Luke chapter 12. Verse 1, Jesus is speaking to those that are listening, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Verse 4, do not fear the Pharisees. Verses 6 and 7, he says, God cares and will provide for you. Verse 8, he's telling them to confess Christ before men, but then he gets interrupted. Look at Luke 12 and verse 13. For the Holy Ghost shall, or that's verse 12, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Here God in the flesh is speaking of spiritual things, and here this man comes and says, Master, talk to my brother that he divide the inheritance of my father with me. Well, talk about a change in subject matter in an awful hurry. God is speaking about, Jesus is speaking about, those things that pertain to spiritual life. And here this one wants to bring us back to the physical. And there we see a problem, don't we? So, in looking at getting to the rich fool, the worldly business builder, we need to talk about the circumstances of the parable that Jesus is going to tell in which we find this rich farmer. Now look here. We see the problem. The request again, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Of all the things that you could talk to God about, you want to bring up the inheritance. Your father's died, and you want to talk about the pittance, as you see it, that you were left. What would you have said if you had this opportunity? If you had the opportunity to speak to Jesus face to face, knowing what He has done, knowing the miracles that He's performed, knowing that He is God in the flesh, what would you say? What would you ask? Friends, quite simply, the Lord did not come to earth to settle family matters over material things. In Luke chapter 4, verse 43, we read, And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Luke 19 and verse 10, we read, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He was there for the spiritual, but so often, as was the case in other places as well, folks wanted to speak to the Lord about physical matters, material matters. And friends, the man's request was very revealing. Again, where was his focus as compared to the focus of Paul? His focus was on things of this world. Look at verse 15. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. Now he's just gotten this question from them. In verse 14 he says, Man, who made me a judge over or a divider over you? In other words, this is not a matter for me. Verse 15, and he said unto them, okay, so he turns to this man, he speaks to him directly, verse 14, and then verse 15, he looks back to all of them. I've already told you about the leaven of the Pharisees, and here's a prime example. And he says to them, he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And then he goes into the parable. Friends, his focus, this man's focus, the one that asked Jesus this question, was on things of the world rather than on things in heaven. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, for your affection on set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Jesus immediately finds, as he was able to do, and reading the heart of a man, he sees that this man that asked the question, that he was a covetous man. Thayer defines covetousness as greedy. Greedy desire to have more. Vines says that this Greek word is used always in a bad sense. We see in Colossians 3 and verse 5 that covetousness is idolatry. Mortify therefore your members which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Friends, the covetous man according to 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is making that very clear. Now let's look at the parable, beginning in verse 16. He uses, and the beautiful thing about the master teacher is how he will use questions like this and turn the, even though folks are trying to focus here upon the physical, he turns it right around and puts the focus right back on the spiritual. Look what he does. Beginning of verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich for God. Again, Jesus placing the focus squarely back upon the spiritual. Friends, think for a moment about the purpose of parables. Parables were used to reveal truth, Mark 4, 10 through 12. They were to protect the truth or well, in a way to conceal the truth, Mark 4 again, 10 through 12. And to embalm or make easy to remember the truth. Matthew 13 and verse 44. This was so that those that heard, they could easily associate the parable with the spiritual truth that Jesus was relaying. And they were used as well to cause a person to acknowledge truth and possibly not realizing it until it's like that light goes on. A good example there is David with Nathan. Remember, Nathan told David a parable. And David realized the truth of the thing. He was ready to punish the rich man in Nathan's parable severely until Nathan said, thou art the man. That's part of the idea of a parable, to cause one to acknowledge truth, not realizing it pertains to themselves. 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 14, there's that parable. Nathan. Many times, parables will have one main point as well, as we see here. Verse 21, you see that. He's given the parable, he's shown the purpose behind it, and then verse 21, he says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. In other words, everything that I just said pertaining to this rich farmer, it applies to anyone that lays up treasures for themselves here upon this earth and is not rich toward God. Now, do you suppose the rich farmer was a hardworking man? Yes. If one is going to be successful in business, he better be a hard worker, right? He's got to be a self-starter. He's got to be one that's not afraid to get his hands dirty, so to speak. And there's no indication whatsoever here either of dishonesty. He did not get his wealth by pulling the wool over other people's eyes either, did he? Look at the beginning of the parable again. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. What do you have to do as a farmer in order to succeed? You have to get up early, right? You don't come in out of the field until dark 30, right? And you're there all the time, and you would think, someone looking on the outside in, you would think, man, that's not that bad. You know, you go and you plow the field and you plant the seed and then you just, wait 4 months? Not at all. You've got to get out there and make sure the weeds don't choke out your plants. You've got to get out there, and as it is today, you've got to spray and spray and spray and spray. You have to be sure, if you're in a place such as we are here, you have to be sure that you've got enough water in order to water the plants that you've planted. You have to do a lot as a farmer. So we know this man was hardworking. There's no indication of dishonesty, but I want you to notice again where the focus is. As the rich man, as the rich farmer, as he's speaking here, he uses the word I 6 times and the word my 5 times. How many times is God mentioned? Not a time. 11 times he refers to himself, and not one time does he mention God. He said to his soul, "Soul, thou," or you, "have much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." You know, many of us, we live day after day looking forward to retirement when we can say, "I can take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry," right? What happens with so many, and I know there are a few here that are like this, you reach the age of retirement, and you get out, and one day you're painting the mailbox, right? And you think, "I've got to get back to work." Miserable in retirement. There's no lasting happiness, friends, in anything other than serving God. And we saw that with Paul this morning, didn't we? No lasting happiness in anything other than serving God. Christians should look to retirement, maybe, as a time to do more and to have more for the Lord. Let me ask this as well. Where was the farmer's identity? How did he identify himself? And we often ask the question, when we're talking to our kids about Paul, we ask the question, what was Paul? And oftentimes, what are we teaching? We teach them, he was a tent maker. Paul, did you know that Paul himself contradicts that idea? What does Paul say his vocation was? What's a vocation? That's his job, right? He was a preacher of the gospel. What made him a tent maker? He did that so that he continued to do what? Preach the gospel. It was a means to an end, in other words. But how did the farmer identify himself? By his fruits, by his work, by the harvest, if you will. That's where he found his identity. And friends, we have to be wary of that. Of being like the rich farmer and putting our identity in things of this world. One's vocation, if he is a Christian, is not a welder, is not a nurse, is not a businessman. He's a Christian first. And these other things that we do that allow us to pay the bills and to put food on the table, that allows us, friends, to be the Christian that we need to be. As being a tent maker allowed Paul to continue to preach the gospel, being a welder, a nurse, a businessman, an oil field worker, whatever the case may be, those things, friends, allow us to continue the work of the Lord. That's how we need to look at this. That's not how this worldly business builder did things, though. It was all about his own gain. Friends, we as Christians were called by the gospel to be Christians, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel, the gospel of Christ, to the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 11 and verse 26, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, Paul says, being a Christian is a holy calling. Again, friends, our jobs are necessities to live and to be faithful to our holy calling. But when we do as the rich farmer and we worship our work, we work at our play and we play at our worship. This man thought his vocation was farming. What was God's response? "Thou fool, your life will be required of you tonight." Look with me for a moment at Revelation 14 and verse 13. Friends, quite simply, the Christian's retirement does not come in this life. We may retire from our physical jobs. We may retire from doing certain things. We may not be able to do certain things anymore. But we never retire from being a Christian. Revelation 14 and verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Where did these Christians of the first century find their retirement? In death. In paradise. Not upon this earth. Friends, let this be a lesson to us at this point. That as Christians, whether we are 20 or 100, we need to be busy in the kingdom of the Lord. We need to be finding something to do. God called this man a fool. What would be his response to you? How would he respond to you? Friends, I don't want God to call me a fool. At death, as God so succinctly puts it here. Look at verse 20 again of Luke 12. At death, the richest man becomes as poor as the poorest beggar, doesn't he? God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then, who shall these things be which thou hast provided? You've done all this work. You've gotten all this harvest, all these fruits. What are you going to do with them while you're in the grave? Nothing you can do with them. You cannot take it with you. So, his focus being upon himself, his focus being upon the physical rather than the spiritual, what are we to take from the rich farmer, the worldly business builder? Friends, remember, whatever it is that we do, it is for the purpose of being able to serve our God. So what is the plan? Jesus gives a plan, and we're not going to take the time to read these things in its entirety. But Jesus gives a plan to defeat the covetousness of one's heart, to defeat the idea that the world gives us so much today that we are to look out for ourselves and not put so much emphasis on the spiritual. Jesus gives us this plan. To put the focus back where it needs to be, back upon God, back upon His gospel, back upon eternal things, and back upon working with God, as were our points this morning. Verses 22 through 30, He shows us that we need to trust in God to provide the things needed. If you go back to Matthew chapter 6, and verse 33, as we like to quote, and what does that verse tell us? Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Where's our focus to be? On God. On His kingdom. And all these things shall be added unto you. And what things is it that Christ is talking about there? Clothing and food. You will have what you need. If we place our focus squarely upon God, squarely upon Christ, squarely upon His gospel, squarely upon eternal things, rather than what is in the here and now, then friends, we can trust in God to provide the things needed. God will take care of his own. How did God provide for Israel? Friends, if you want to see how God takes care of his people, look at everything that he did for the people of Israel as they're leaving Egypt. He saves them from absolute destruction time and again while they're in Egypt. He saves them once they're leaving Egypt at the Red Sea. He saves them again from going hungry by providing them that. They didn't have to do much, did they? God took care of them. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. God takes care of his people, so long as the focus is where it needs to be. What happened when Israel lost focus? He reminded them who he was. Friends, we need to put our focus back upon God. Seek first the spiritual things, truth, and God's kingdom, verses 31 to 34 of Luke chapter 12. Verses 35 through 40. I do want to read this passage, because it has to do with preparation. Was the rich farmer prepared to meet his God? No, he was thinking about years in the future, wasn't he? He was thinking about tearing down his small barns, building bigger barns, and then I don't have to farm for the rest of my life. I've got enough from this harvest that I can sell part of my goods, I can do whatever with them, and I can take my ease. He wasn't worried about God. He wasn't worried about what might be on tomorrow, really, other than years in the future. He didn't consider that he might die that night. He was not prepared to meet his God. Look at verses 35 through 40. Luke chapter 12. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves likened to men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, and the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so. Blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Friends, we have to be prepared. In a manner of speaking, we have got to put on the wedding garment. We've got to be ready. The picture again that Jesus uses here is one of those waiting for their master to return. Are you waiting for your master? Are you ready? What if he comes at the second watch? Or the third watch? In the dead of the night? Will we be ready? Will we be prepared? And then verses 41 through 48, Jesus focuses upon being faithful unto death. Friends, we must take greed and covetousness off the throne of our lives and put God on. We need to talk seriously to our souls. Just as the rich farmer had a conversation with his soul, we might need to have a conversation with ours. And have a serious conversation with our souls about what is most important and most valuable. And friends, it most definitely is not the things of this world. Did the rich farmer have a successful business in life? I don't think you can deny it. He was so successful that he had more than he needed. He was able to go to an early retirement. But friends, while he was able to go to an early retirement, would you say that he was successful overall? I wouldn't, because he was not ready for an early grave. And friends, that's something that we must all be prepared for. Whether it's an early grave or the Lord comes again. Are our lamps trimmed and burning? Or will he find us sleeping? You know, I find it interesting. And this principle is found in the Old Testament as well as the New. But many times, God uses the example of a watchman to speak to his people. And Jesus has just done it here in Luke chapter 12. Will Jesus find us watching and waiting for his return, or will he find us asleep? Friends, and I want you to think about this as we put away our Bibles. When we take out our psalm books, and ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. But I want you to think about the watchman. Ezekiel was called the watchman of Israel. And here Jesus talks about the second and the third watch. Essentially, he's saying that we all have to be watchmen. Now notice, friends, in here in this particular part of this passage, verses 35 through 40 rather. In that particular part, they are to be prepared. And if they are prepared, when the goodman comes, what does the goodman do? The master. He tells them to sit down then, take their ease, and he will serve them. What does that mean for you and I? When Jesus finds us watching, when he returns again, heaven will be the reward. We will be able to sit down and take our ease, so to speak. It is then, friend, that we can retire. Now, as you think about that, friends, and as this idea of a watchman has been used in the old and the new, what was the penalty if a watchman fell asleep on duty? Doesn't matter if an army was coming or not. There may not have been a raiding army within 1,000 miles of this particular city. But what if a king of the city, or anyone else for that matter, came and they found you sleeping on the job? You'd be sleeping in your grave that night. That's what happened. Why was that? How serious a job was a watchman? Friends, that entire city depended upon you, whether you realized it or not. If you fell asleep, and an army came from the direction that you were supposed to be watching, and the city was overtaken, that was on you. Are your lamps trimmed and burning? Are you waiting for the Savior? Where is your focus? Is it upon things of this world? Are we more worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? Or are we worried about, friends, making our life right with God? If the rich farmer, and again, I go back to how many times he used the words I and my. If he had been more focused upon God, then friends, things maybe wouldn't have to be like they were. He wasn't ready. And we don't want that to be you. Don't build your hopes, friends, upon things that will pass away. Build them upon the eternal God and the author of our salvation. But friend, if you're here this evening, are you prepared for the coming of the Savior? Are you prepared, friends, to meet your God? Friend, if the answer to those questions are no, would you get ready tonight? Would you put Christ on in baptism, arising again to walk in newness of life? Friend, it may be that you're here and you have obeyed the gospel. But as you speak to your soul, you realize that your soul is responding, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. My lamp has gone out. Would you light it again? Would you be his once more? Friend, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask that you come while we stand and while we sing.